When you can't agree on what to order or you're settling for whatever, mealtime can be a major. That's where Wonder comes in. Download the app for access to everything you're craving. Mix and match hundreds of freshly prepared dishes from menus by renowned chefs, delivered in one order. Say goodbye to compromise. From poke bowls to filet mignon, it's all on Wonder. Order fast, free delivery, or pick up and dine in at a Wonder location near you. Wonder, the cravings expert. Get the app today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Fee and fees apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Donnie Football in for Pomp and Joe on this Steelers victory Monday. Austin Bechtold is behind the glass. You hear that music. We will get back to your calls, I promise you, at 412-928-9370. But we have to have a little college football minute. All three major local teams went down on Saturday. Louisville, 34, Pitt 27. The Panthers blowing a 17-point lead to fall to 2-2. They led by 10 points at halftime. By the way, remember when we had worries about Eli Holstein being too good and then leaving? I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. The big question now as we enter October, can Pitt win four more games to reach bowl eligibility, Austin? They sit at 2-2. They have lost back-to-back games. West Virginia, then Louisville out of the bye. This one is a biggie for them on Saturday.
Huge.
Because if they would lose a game to Boston College, they still have four ranked opponents on their schedule. They have to find a way to four wins while also facing Florida State in Tallahassee, Notre Dame, Georgia Tech, and Miami. Now, we all have the assumption that in true Pitt and Pat Narduzzi fashion, they'll find one win out of those four. They will pull off some big win, and that will be the Pitt crown jewel of 2025. But if they don't, they have to win probably the other four games that they don't play ranked teams. Boston College on Saturday. They are at Syracuse on the 18th, at home against NC State, and then at Stanford on November 1st. Because they are staring at another 7-5 or 6-6 season. And if they fall short, if they disappoint against one of these unranked teams and they don't get that vintage ranked Pitt win, they are on the outside looking in during bowl season.
Where has this team gone from the 7-0 that they were going into SMU, Donnie? I mean, what a complete 180 that this team has made. Boston College is not a good team. If they don't win that game, the sky is falling once again, just like the losing streak to close out last season. Who they lose to? Toledo in the bowl game? Like, they need this win. Blowing a 17-point lead to a Louisville team that's pretty good, but you should be able to beat at home, is just a microcosm of what the program has become. Average.
Yeah, I mean, it's disappointing that every year it's basically 6-6 or 7-5. Maybe they win a few more games than that. Maybe they lose a few more games than that. But I did TV last night, Austin. I was on the Final Word. and we had this discussion of which team took a harder loss this weekend. Yeah, for Pitt, it could be worse because they know the program is just still going nowhere. They are in neutral. And for Penn State, they still have, I would say, a pretty fair chance of making it to the college football playoff. We will get to them in just a moment. But in Pitt's case, this team has just been in the same spot. And it was somewhat, even though it was a great season, the 2021 ACC championship, Kenny Pickett's, you know, Heisman finalist season, that was a very fun season to follow. But in a way, it was bad that that happened because there was a false sense for Pitt football going forward. A very big contract handed out to Pat Narduzzi. They're stuck with him through, 2029? Still a handful of seasons to go. They're not getting any better. They have had bad seasons, or they have had 500 seasons. They had the Kenny Pickett year, and then they had the Keaton Slovis year where they still were pretty good. They won, 8 games that year? It's not getting any better. And there's now a real chance, given what is still on the schedule, that they miss out on a bowl game altogether. Somebody else who I think will miss out on a bowl game, and I feel really good about my preseason prediction here, Austin. You, me, Joe, going into the year, we all did the win-loss game for Pitt, West Virginia, and Penn State. And I thought WVU was like a 4-win team. They may not even be that. They did beat Pitt in the backyard brawl. I had that wrong. Just flip the outcomes, though, between Pitt and Ohio. And I had the feeling after that Pitt game, they would lose like 6 games in a row. I thought they would be a 4-8 team or something right around there. And the season is very much going in the direction I expected. At BYU coming up on Friday night, 10:30. You can watch that game on ESPN if you want. That sounds like a chore if you are a WVU fan. They have gotten their doors blown off in back-to-back games, the first season back for Rich Rodriguez.
I don't even know if Crowley will want to stay up and watch that game.
I sure as hell wouldn't.
I mean, seriously, 10:30? You can't have any earlier of a kickoff time for a team whose fan base is on the East Coast than 10:30? Like, could you imagine Pitt going out to Cal and that game starts at 10:30? Everybody's like, what? This is not a West Coast baseball game for the Pirates. You know, it's a little bit different here. You could start at 3:30. There's no big deal.
Well,
and have it be a 7:30 kickoff.
Well, it is a Friday. It is a Friday game. It's not a Saturday.
Okay, still. Then why can't...
They could still start the game earlier.
A 5 o'clock kickoff in Utah? Is Utah Pacific or is that Mountain Time?
Let's see where...
Let's say they are 2 hours behind. You're telling me a 6 o'clock kickoff on a Friday night wouldn't suffice?
They are Mountain.
Okay, so you're 2 hours back. Why does it have to be 10:30 Eastern Time then? So they're kicking it off at 8:30? How many games kick off at 8:30 typically?
Yeah, I mean, they very well could be like a local, like an Eastern Time of 8:30 and a 6:30.
Yeah. I think that's probably what it is. But regardless, everybody knew that this was not going to be a overnight change for Rich Rod to be able to turn around the program. I didn't think it would be this bad. I mean, they're getting run off the field by Utah. They got embarrassed by Ohio, not Ohio State, Ohio. And the fact that WVU just looks lifeless in the second half, other than that game against Pitt, that's my main concern.
Yeah, I mean, I know that they have a lot of injuries to deal with, but they have lost by a combined 65 points in the last 2 weeks, and it's not like they are playing top 10 teams. They played Kansas, they played Utah, who have had some good seasons here and there, but these teams are not among the best in the country. They still have 3 ranked opponents coming up, and otherwise they have games where I don't really see a win. UCF, TCU, Houston, Colorado. They might not win another game. I think they'll snag 1 or 2 more, but there's a very real chance they just go like 2-10. That would be horrible.
That would be terrible.
For them.
You're not even close to a bowl game. I mean, questions are going to be coming about on Rich Rod. Could you imagine if people say, oh, maybe we should have kept Neil Brown. He at least won us 5 or 6 games. He got us into the bowl. The Duke's Mayo Bowl was very fun.
Yeah, I mean, they just have to give him time when it comes to recruiting, and they can build from there. But it's going to be a lump of a season for them, it appears, in 2025. And now, Austin, it's your time to shine. Oregon defeating Penn State the other night, 30-24. Before we get to that, I do want to tell you that 93.7 The Fan will showcase a different community each Saturday through the Youth Football Showcase with a special visit from members of the fan staff. If you want 93.7 The Fan to visit your game, email youthsports@937thefan.com with your group name, your group's main contact info, and potential dates. Details at 937thefan.com, brought to you by Steel City Shredding, Saloni's Italian Bread, Pelman Electric, and Keystone Custom Apparel. I know that Andrew Filippone was out at the Pine Richland rec football games on Saturday. Ben Tenuta got his biggest and brightest camera out there as well for a little Pine Richland youth football action. But stay tuned to us to figure out where we go next. Austin, you spent basically a whole paycheck on a ticket to the Penn State-Oregon game on Saturday. James Franklin and Drew Aller proved once again that they cannot win big games, especially Franklin. I mean, the guy is a hell of a recruiter. I will give him that. He is not a good in-game coach. He can beat up on the little guys. He can beat up on the scrubs. But when it comes to playing the top dogs, Austin, they ain't getting the top dollar out of James Franklin.
When you can't agree on what to order or you're settling for whatever, mealtime can be a major... That's where Wonder comes in. Download the app for access to everything you're craving. Mix and match hundreds of freshly prepared dishes from menus by renowned chefs, delivered in one order. Say goodbye to compromise. From poke to pizza, it's all on Wonder. Use code WONDER50P for 50% off your first two orders on Wonder. Wonder, the cravings expert. Get the app today. Terms apply. See wonder.com/newcustomer for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Aller, for me, I think is soon to be off a handful of draft boards in the first round. I kept saying that I need to see him have a big game against one of these big-time teams. And outside of one pass, he had that touchdown pass in the fourth quarter. I mean, he just hasn't been able to hack it. Kind of pun intended there when it comes to Penn State quarterbacks. But I know you have a big take that you are ready to get off your chest about this Penn State game, Austin, so the floor is yours.
Yeah, Donnie, I mean, I have been very gung-ho about my belief in Drew Aller. I'm not a big James Franklin believer. I've been very vocal about that, but I've always thought that Aller would be the one coming back for your senior year, having the supporting cast around you, second-year offensive coordinator in Kotel Nicki. I thought that this was going to be the year that Drew Aller ultimately took that jump, that he was going to show, especially in this type of game, at home, whiteout environment, that he was either the number one quarterback, the number two quarterback, or the number three quarterback in the draft class. And that's why I came in here on video to come out here and say, everyone, I was wrong. And everyone knows that I am the most supportive person, at least in the Pittsburgh media market, maybe even in the state, with my support, with my defense of Drew Aller, basically claiming that I am a Drew Aller truther, basically becoming a Drew Aller defender, and now somebody who is officially saying, Donnie, I am breaking up with Drew Aller.
Breaking up with Drew Aller.
I am 95% out on Drew Aller and my belief that he can be the Steelers' next quarterback. Now, I am leaving that 5% open. Ohio State, Indiana, top 10 teams. With more data, you could change your mind. Will Howard, bad regular season. Playoffs, really skyrocketed the opinion for people. But right now, I have to take a break from Drew Aller. I need a break. This is Ross and Rachel. I need a break. And ultimately, I might be like Ross and yell, we were on a break if things do work out. But right now, I feel like I am banging my head over and over and over again, defending the same thing that we are seeing over and over again. Aller now 0-6 against top six opponents in his career. Two losses to Oregon, two to Ohio State in that campaign. I just feel like it's the definition of insanity, and I don't know if I can do it anymore. I love the guy. He's a great person. I've talked to people that know him, that are around him, that say nothing but great things. But I don't know if he has the clutch gene to be the reason why a team wins games.
I said on Saturday night, I tweeted out during that game. Now, it was before his nice touchdown pass. I forget who even hauled it in the corner of the end zone. But that was like the one big-time throw he made.
Great throw.
In that game. It was.
That was right in front of where I was sitting.
And he made it look effortless. But when he plays against the big-time teams in college football, he's one of the worst quarterbacks that I've ever watched.
Yeah, he like, shrivels in the big moments.
It never looks pretty. He will occasionally flash like an athletic play, and I mean, there's no denying what the guy brings to the table tool-wise, but when it comes to the big games, he has no idea how to build anything. Has all these tools, has no clue how to build when he's playing against an Oregon or Ohio State or, you know, just insert blue blood here. These are the reasons, and I put a little bit more on Franklin because he's been there longer.
Right.
But they have been the two big reasons why Penn State is not in that top echelon of college football. They're up there.
Oh, definitely. They compete.
I would say they're in the second tier. They're always a very good team, but they're never in that upper echelon because they can never get it done against these big-time teams.
And I thought their defense played okay. They played great in the first half, limiting Oregon to just 3 points. The defense was tired in the second half. That's why Oregon went right down the field on them on that touchdown drive, the last one they had before the end of regulation. The play calling was also, oh my gosh, Donnie, I don't know if you thought this watching the game, but it drives me absolutely nuts when they decide, their fancy offensive coordinator, Andy Kotelnicki, who I do like, they're moving the ball consistently down the field. Now, let's line up Drew Aller wide, put Katron Allen to take a direct snap. Oh, 5-yard penalty. Sure, they scored on that drive. Their offense gets too cute. They think too much. They were unprepared offensively for this game. I mean, there wasn't anything exotic that Oregon threw at them. When they actually opened up the offense, was creative, threw the ball downfield, they scored. They ultimately could move the ball, but they were so uptight. And James Franklin punting at the 36-yard line was just so absurd to me. Sure, it was fourth and long. Go for it. Oregon was 5 of 7 on fourth down in the game. The offense had 107 total yards in the first three quarters. 109, I think it was. This was a not well-coached game, not well-played by the quarterback, and ultimately was a carbon copy of how the Notre Dame game ended, with a game-sealing interception by your five-star quarterback, who, again, I love. Great dude. I've had nothing but good interactions with when I've interviewed him. But he still has not been able to get over the hump.
Yeah, I mean, and you brought up Will Howard a few minutes ago, and at least to Howard's credit, I know that kid didn't get picked until 185. He was great in the college football playoff games.
He was.
And they all came against good teams. So right there, that's, what, 3 or 4 examples of him playing well in big games. We have none of that from Drew Aller.
No, I mean, I thought he played well in the Oregon game last year in the Big Ten Championship. I was at that one. There were a lot of really good throws he made, but still 2 picks. The defense kind of cost him that game, but he's not done well enough. Somebody said this to me. It might have been Landon Tengwall with us on Friday. Is there a game that you could pick out to say Drew Aller is the reason Penn State won this game? I mean, I follow every single game. Watch every snap. There might be 1 or 2 examples, and they're not against big competition.
I feel like his like biggest flex, and I mean, you know, given where this program is, we just talked about them, the games that he's had against West Virginia.
He's played very well in those games.
Yeah, but again, that's like his biggest flex, and it's West Virginia, who, you know, is a team that may not win four games this year.
Yeah, it's a WVU team last year that they played well against that ended up firing their coach at the end of the season. You know, they're going to beat up on the Minnesotas of the world. They'll probably go to Iowa and win. You know, they'll crush Northwestern in the stripe out. This is going to come down to Ohio State, which I thought coming into the year they were going to lose that game. Then they get Indiana, who's a top 10 team, the week after at home. That might end up being a primetime game. If they lose all three of those games, they're done. They're out. They need to win one of the two. They could easily slip up in the Iowa game. There's a good chance, Donnie, that this goes from the number two team in the country to missing the playoffs, and that's all that NIL money and all the money that everybody is basically saving if you're a Penn State fan to go to the playoffs and saving for the semis and the national championship right down the tube.
Yeah, going into the season, my take was Penn State had to just win one of two games to ensure that they would get a bye in the playoff, and that was Oregon or Ohio State.
Yeah.
And I thought the whole time they would lose at Ohio State. That's just what they do. I thought they would beat Oregon. I thought they would take care of the rest of their schedule. They very well may, but now that Ohio State game looms even larger because they go into their thinking, we could still make the playoff if we lose this game, but we will probably need some help. And then here comes Indiana again, like you said, the very next week.
Very next week. Because you're going to get Ohio State, Penn State is like Steelers, Ravens. You get banged up in those games. It is physical in the trenches, no holding back, no holds bar. So when I evaluate what they have moving forward, if you want any chance of a home playoff game, forget the bye, unless you win out, and maybe you get the four seed, you need to be able to pull off a stunner against either Indiana or Ohio State to be able to make sure you're like an eight. Ohio State went into the playoffs as an eight seed.
Yep.
They had a better roster. But if Penn State goes on the road and is like a 10 or an 11 seed, Donnie, they're not going to win on the road. Like, if they go to Tuscaloosa or they go to Knoxville, they got to go play at Ole Miss. They got to go play at Death Valley and play LSU. They're not going to win that game.
I think it's even more frustrating for Aller individually that none of the other big time college quarterbacks who we were all so high on coming into the year.
Right.
Not many of those guys have looked good. He had a real chance to separate himself. And the other quarterback in this game is the guy that did it.
Man, was I impressed by Dante Moore. Wow. I mean, think about this. That environment was probably the best I've ever been in any game. And I've been to, huge Steeler games, Pirate games when they were relevant in 13, 14, 15, Penguin playoff games, college football playoff games. It was a better atmosphere than the semifinals was at the Orange Bowl last year, the Peach Bowl, the Rose Bowl that I was at. That's the best atmosphere I've ever been in. Dante Moore was unfazed, man. He looked like a stone-cold killer.
He didn't change his facial expression, no matter what happened.
And you just expected for a young quarterback there to be a pick or a fumble or him to make a mistake, even a risky throw. No, he was awesome. He is either one or two right now on my updated Austin Bechtold quarterback rankings that I'm just about to tweet out. Drew Aller's still on the list, but he's plummeted. Dante Moore skyrocketing up the list.
Are you going to get into more of this game later? You are on from 6 to 7.
I will be discussing it from 6 to 7.
In place of me tonight. Well, thank you, Austin. This was a fun little college football minute. 412-928-9370 is the number to join the conversation. You can always hit us up on the fan text line at that number as well. That is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Let's get back to some of these calls here before a break. Harry is in Westview. What's up, Harry?
Donnie, love you, baby.
Thank you. What's on your mind?
Well, I think, first of all, real quick, I think Pitt should fire their coach. I think Penn State should fire their coach. I think he has too much talent at Penn State to be losing to the big teams. Anyway, my second point is, what's your thoughts on the usage of the tight end so far in the Steelers' offense? Do you think they're using them enough, and why do they have so many, and do you think they have plans to use them more?
Yeah, so they going into the year, I think we had a perception of how they would use the tight ends. They are using the tight ends. I just don't think it matches what that offseason perception was. The snap count in this game was staggering. Darnell Washington has all of a sudden jumped up the depth chart seemingly to tight end one. He played 48 snaps. He played 91% of the offensive snaps in this game. And that's all well and good. He is a useful player. He caught a few passes. He is an outstanding blocker. They ran the football very well in this game with a backup running back. I'm fine with him playing a lot. Here's where I'm concerned is that he outsnapped every other tight end combined. And Connor Hayward had the second most snaps out of tight ends at 16. Pat Freiermuth, who they paid money to, who people know, I am a Pat Freiermuth guy, just person to person. They're not getting their money's worth out of him. He also had a bad rep on the field goal that got blocked yesterday, too. That's not going to win him any favors. Jonnu Smith, one of the big offseason acquisitions. They paid money to that guy when he got over here. 13 snaps yesterday. So they are using these guys, but they're just not using them the way I think we all anticipated. And I do think, at least for Freiermuth's concern, I am a little bit worried about where things are going forward. 412-928-9370. Want to keep taking your calls. We can get into college football stuff. You can give me your thoughts on the Steelers' victory in Dublin against the Vikings. I know a couple of you have been waiting on hold for a minute. I will get to you coming up next. The Penguins also said goodbye to a legend. And have the Pirates fired their general manager yet? We still have all of that to get to. Before we finish, we also have weekend winners and losers to end the show. That's coming up in about an hour, but that is something down the line.
When you can't agree on what to order or you're settling for whatever, mealtime can be a major. That's where Wonder comes in. Download the app for access to everything you're craving. Mix and match hundreds of freshly prepared dishes from menus by renowned chefs, delivered in one order. Say goodbye to compromise. From poke bowls to filet mignon, it's all on Wonder. Order fast, free delivery, or pick up and dine in at a Wonder location near you. Wonder, the cravings expert. Get the app today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
50-minute mark on the fan, a few minutes away from that. That is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on Route 19 in Peters Township. Still taking your calls. We will do it through 2 o'clock. That is when Andrew Filippone and Chris Mother will take over. I will switch places with Austin Bechtold, the man behind the glass. Not really switch places. Austin will be done for a few hours after that. He will step in for me, though, tonight, a little PM team overtime. Austin will be on the airwaves from 6 until 7 when Monday Night Football pregame coverage takes over, brought to you by the NFL on Westwood One. A doubleheader of Monday Night Football tonight, by the way. The Jets and the Dolphins and the Broncos and the Bengals. One of those games certainly of more interest than the other due to the AFC North tie-in that the Bengals provide. 412-928-9370 to join the conversation. DK in the South Hills has been waiting very patiently. We'll go to him now. What's going on, DK?
Hey, Donnie. How you doing, man?
Good. What's on your mind?
Good. Hey, I just hope Gainwell got a ball yesterday. Waking up with the news of Warren and everything and him not, being able to provide you know, on both sides of the running attack, I think we really crushed it, and that was a big part of the win. Gainwell, I think, just shy of 100 yards, and obviously holding them to minimal rushing attack as well. So I almost felt, and I wanted to get your opinion, the defense just looked differently. The backers, kind of some schemes, some different looks, as well as I think once they lost a couple of their O-line guys, we really took advantage of that too. So didn't know if you saw a little bit of historical Steeler defense looks from your vantage, but it just seemed and felt a lot different.
Yeah, DK, that's something to point out, and I appreciate that call, and thanks for hanging with us there for a minute. 412-928-9370 for you to get in queue and show your opinion on something. What's up, Austin?
We got some breaking news here, Donnie.
Uh-oh.
Alex Stump is just putting out there on Twitter that the Pirates have announced they have extended the contract of manager Don Kelly. So Don Kelly will be back next season as the Pirates manager. There is no word yet on what the fate of Ben Cherington is.
Yeah, that would read a little bit better if it said the Pirates have terminated the contract of Ben Cherington. I mean, I've thought, and we'll get to the Pirates a little bit more in the final hour of the show. I think Don Kelly did fine. You know, I'm not ready to build a statue for the guy. I think he did fine with what he had to work with. I think he was certainly better fit for the job than Ben Cherington was, or not Ben Cherington, than Derek Shelton was. Probably a better fit than what Ben Cherington is anyway. But that is just the little piece of news, and I assume this
you have
is
the
what
release?
Our guy, Andrew Lindbergh, has handed me. Yes, the Pirates are extending manager Don Kelly. The quote that said, "Donnie has earned the respect of the players, front office, and our fans, and he certainly has earned mine," said Bob Nutting. I'll just take that little quote and I'll put it up on my wall at home. Donnie has earned the respect of the players, front office, and our fans, and he certainly has mine.
You've earned our respect too, Donnie. You might as well.
412-928-9370 to join the conversation. You can comment on that. Also want to keep the Steelers conversation going there. One of the things that DK from the South Hills brought up was the Steelers defense, and it has looked different in these last two games. And Deshaun Elliott, we mentioned him when we were talking about the game balls. That guy just does a little bit of everything. He had a pick, he had a sack, he had a tackle for loss, he had a forced fumble, six tackles in the game, a couple of quarterback hits. The guy is just all over the place. And I loved him in his first season here last year, and he is following that up with another good 2025. He had to miss a couple of games, but now that he's back, that adds an element to their defense that they did not already have. And it is fair to point out that the Vikings suffered a couple of injuries on that offensive line yesterday. Ryan Kelly, the veteran center, had to leave the game, and the former Pitt Panther, Brian O'Neill, who, for my money, is one of the better right tackles in the game. You know, you think of Lane Johnson, you think of Penei Sewell. Brian O'Neill is not too far down that list, and he also did not play majority of the game. So you credit the Steelers defense there for finally taking advantage of those injuries, because we have seen in the past, we saw it in the first two games of the season, they played some makeshift offensive lines and they mostly got stonewalled and shut out. So I am glad that they were able to take advantage, pin their ears back a little bit, and play well when the other team's offense has, you know, a couple of injuries up front. They're shorthanded in that aspect of the game. So that was a bit refreshing to take in on the defensive side of the football. They got after Carson Wentz six times. And not all of those fell on the offensive line, because sometimes, you know, it'll be a coverage sack, what they call it, when the quarterback just can't find anybody. He's holding onto the football for too long, and the offensive line doesn't give him enough time. Or they give him enough time, but he can't make something happen. That's different than, you know, a guy immediately getting back there and making a play. Their blitzes were more creative. They were just doing more. And I thought that Mike Tomlin, and, you know, if we're going to bash him and the defense when they don't play well, I'm going to praise him when they do. His defensive game plan stood up and beat up the offense that Kevin O'Connell put out there. O'Connell has been viewed as a bit of an offensive mastermind, and I still think he is a very good offensive coach. He took a team with Sam Darnold and won 14 games in 2024. The Steelers outcoached the Vikings pretty thoroughly yesterday. And where I thought they would come up short was the coaching. The two head coaches have specialties. Tomlin, a defensive guy. O'Connell, an offensive guy. But then Arthur Smith put together a better game plan than Brian Flores did. So the Steelers took what they knew about Brian Flores and his defense, and they worked it against him because Arthur Smith called a very good game as well. 412-928-9370. There was also a cool moment on the ice on Saturday night. And I said this was a loaded weekend, and I know the Steelers talk is going to dominate the show as it should. There was somebody on Twitter a little bit ago, Austin, who was upset that we spent about 15 minutes talking about college football. Steelers win a huge game, and you guys are talking college. And then he swore a couple of times, so I couldn't get into it more. But, I mean, we're spending at least three of the 4 hours on the Steelers. There was a lot of other stuff that happened this weekend. The Pirates season ended, a handful of big college games. Penn State lost its huge matchup against Oregon. The Penguins welcome back Marc-Andre Fleury, and that's where I want to spend a couple of minutes here. He was 8 of 8 on saves in the third period in that win over the Blue Jackets. My question is still, should they just sign the guy for the whole season? Should they just make this whole season one that is built off nostalgia? They're going to have enough trouble getting people in that arena for regular season games. And maybe Fleury would just be too good to get them the draft slot that they are hoping for, which is number one overall. They want to get Gavin McKenna, who is going to spend a season at Penn State. But the Penguins probably had, outside of the final game, when we are all expecting it to be the final home game of Evgeny Malkin, they won't have as many people in that building, Austin, for a single regular season game outside of Geno's final one than they had on Saturday night. I don't think they'll be all that close.
I mean, I would imagine that the opener will have a decent amount, but, I mean, factor in a lot of people that would probably go to the home opener probably went to this game to see Fleury. So maybe they just decide not to spend money on that and save it for the Malkin game. I agree with you. Like, it is going to be a dire sight at times at the arena this year. And that's why I'm so glad that they did this with Fleury. I was at the whiteout, so I didn't get to see it live, but I was checking in with all the clips and everything after the game, and was just awesome to see Fleury not even give up a goal, too. He could still play. And everybody asking him after the game, would you even consider another year? And he's like, no, my hip hurts. I'm already tired. I'm done. I'm ready for retirement. But that's what this season is, Donnie. It's unfortunate. It's feel-good moments. It's celebrate Malkin. It's extend Crosby and break more records. And when I say extend Crosby's streak of years with the Penguins and greatness with the Penguins. And basically rebuild, not play well, find a good draft pick, and hopefully you win the lottery for Gavin McKenna. That's what this season is all about. Develop young players, say goodbye to Evgeny Malkin, find a way to draft Gavin McKenna.
I say make it a full-on reunion tour. Geno's final year, possibly Chris Letang's, who knows. Fleury, just let him play the whole season. Reunion tour, it could be like an old rock band, baby. The Rolling Stones, one last time. One last go-around. Although I think until like 2 years ago, they had reunion tours starting in like 1995, and they played for 30 more. Reunion tour this thing up, man.
You know what, Donnie? I would rather Marc-Andre Fleury not sign with the Penguins.
He'd be too good.
He'd be too good. I'd rather Tristan Jarry be in the net. I mean, sure, he'll get some shutouts, but you might have a couple of Tristan Jarry games that we've become so accustomed to getting where he can put you in that position. Maybe they'll score a goal on their own goal again. Maybe they'll have a Malkin-Letang issue again with communication where they score on their own net. Who knows what this season is going to bring, but I don't think it's going to be pretty.
Yeah, you want to talk about a guy who chokes away in big games. Tristan Jarry. I mean, if you tell him a game is of great importance, he's going to give up 6 goals.
Oh, man. Imagine Tristan Jarry playing for James Franklin. What a performance that would be.
Fan weather, that's brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Cloudy today, a high of 81, low of 58 tonight. Coming up, we will keep taking your calls if you have any thoughts on anything we have gone over so far today. 412-928-9370 gets you in on the conversation. We also have a little bit of Pirates news now to react to. The season ended yesterday. Will they make another move?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.